Hello and welcome to Cavaganza's Live. Great show for a Friday heading into what in the United States is a three-day weekend for many people. We'll also have a brand new show for you on Monday. We're not taking the day off. We're going to be here for you with a brand new program. And it's actually our annual summer movie program. So we'll talk about summer movies. We'll talk about what's coming up. We'll talk about some of the greatest summer movies of all time and about the Catholic faith presented in movies and which movies should Catholics go to and which should Catholics not go to. All that stuff with Andrew Petiprin on Monday. Today, however, a very, very fine show as well. Second hour, the Scourge of Australia will be here with us. I don't even know if he's... Is that a good title for him, the Scourge of Australia? Jason Evert, the man who tried to talk about chastity with high schoolers in Australia, and there was almost a government intervention in this thing. It got out of hand. So we'll talk with Jason about that and about chastity the second hour. This hour... We'll talk about unchastity, I guess, is the way to say it. Rose Sweet is our guest, an expert in relationships, has done wonderful work on helping Catholics in particular, but all kinds of folks, with divorce, remarriage, annulments, that whole thing. And today we are going to talk about something you're not supposed to talk about anymore. When I was young, and Rose was very young, they used to use the term shacking up. But now we don't say that anymore because it's not even considered a thing. It doesn't even have a name anymore because people have accepted the premarital moving in together and all of that. Well, has the church given up on that? Is that still not important or should we still talk about that? Especially for young people, this is an important one. I mean, for all of us, it is really because this is still important stuff. And the teaching of Jesus has not changed. And Jesus wants nothing more than to bring joy to us. And so we should listen to him. That and the fact that he's God. And so today we're going to talk a bit about shacking up, and you're welcome to call. But it might get a little bit graphic. I don't know. So if there's small kids in the car with you, this first hour might not be the one for you. And in the second hour, if there's Australians in the car with you, that hour might not be for you. 888-318-7884 is the number here. 888-318-7884. Rose Sweet, welcome.
It's so good to be back. Let's get some business out of the way, should we?
Yeah, please. What business do we have?
I'm so excited to be one of the people to jump on board and say how fabulous the Catholic Answers annual conference is in September. Scott Hahn is going to be a speaker again this year, and I just love everything about that conference. Everybody should go.
I didn't know that's the business we were going to do right away, but thank you for that. You can go to CatholicAnswersConference.com. Every year, it's the last full weekend of September, the Catholic Answers National Apologetics Conference. We would love it if you would come. And I don't want to pick on them. I don't know why I keep coming back to the people of Australia, but we had a wonderful crew from Australia there last year, some very fine people from New Zealand. So you can come from anywhere in the world. Come, and we'd love it if you'd be here. Check it out at CatholicAnswersConference.com. All right. Well, my back feels scratched, so let me scratch your back.
Okay, good.
You got a pilgrimage coming up with our very good friend. Two of the best friends of this show, Rose Sweet and Monsignor Eugene Morris, leading a pilgrimage to where?
To Italy, to Rome, Assisi, Florence, Orvieto, all those wonderful places.
Wow.
And November 3rd through the 12th this year. It's not too late to sign up. We have a few spaces left. You and Missy should come with us. That would be fun.
November.
But you went last year, didn't you?
Yeah, we were in Rome last year. Missy would go every year. She doesn't care if it bankrupts the family. She'll go to Rome every year.
Hey, I support her.
I think she's probably right about that, too. It's worth going. So how do people find out about the pilgrimage?
Okay, so go to my website at rosesweet.com/pilgrimage. Real easy. rosesweet.com/pilgrimage. And you can download the brochure and all the other good stuff.
And Rose
so
is great company. But if you're going to be in Rome, being there with Monsignor Morris is a great gift. He knows the city very well. He speaks Italian. And he's just a wonderful person to be traveling
with. And we are going to be celebrating Mass in the Latin Mass every day in holy places. So that will be really beautiful as well.
Check it out at rosesweet.com/ I don't ever know what I'm supposed to say. /, one of those, pilgrimage.
That thing.
Put the thing in there. All right. Rose, is the church still against cohabiting before or outside of the bonds of marriage?
Yes. But this kills me. You talk about government intervention, you know, with Jason down in Australia. I wish we would have some intervention just from the pulpit. I have never, in all my many, many years, you don't have to say it, I'm saying it already, I've never heard a priest from the pulpit talk about the problems of living together outside marriage. Never, ever, ever. And I know the reason probably is because we want people to stay in church. We don't want people to leave. So we tiptoe around them because it's become so prevalent. I think there's something like 8 million people, more than that, living together outside marriage.
The thing is, though, like, if the priests are avoiding talking about it because they'll lose parishioners, I think they might be mistaken, because there are gentle ways to talk about it that actually are quite helpful. That's how you talk about it. It's to be helpful to people, that there's things you should know about this. And there are reasons to take. There's always reasons to take seriously what Jesus teaches. And what the church teaches, but there are additional reasons given all that we know about the consequences of this kind of thing.
Right, and here's where I like to approach it, as you say, in that gentle manner. Tell me what it is that you want in a romantic relationship. I see that you're in love. Tell me what you want this relationship to be like. And so
I'm gonna take up your challenge. I'm gonna tell you some
things.
Okay,
good. Okay, so what is it that you want in a romantic relationship?
I would like love in a relationship.
Well, okay, but when you live together, you're not loving each other totally. You're using each other. So cohabitation is using the parties for pleasure, comfort, financial ease. It's not authentic love. Love goes to the cross for the other one. Love is complete and full. This is living together is not complete and full. So instead of being loved, you're being used, and you're using. What else do you want?
All right. Well, if I can't have love, just give me security. I'd like to be secure in my relationship.
Okay. So when you're living together, you don't have financial security. You don't own assets together. You're not on the insurance company with the other person. They probably are not sharing all their bank accounts or their credit cards with you. You don't have financial security, emotional security, social security, legal, and you have no security. It's all could change in a minute. You get in a big fight, somebody moves out, it's done. That's not safe.
All right, what if I just want someone to accept me, Rose? I just want to be accepted in my relationship. I feel like I'm lowering my standards as we're going, but let's say I just look. What I want from this relationship is someone who knows me and accepts me.
Yeah, but Cy, unless I've really made the commitment, you know, if I'm living with somebody, I don't accept you. I want you to be thin or muscular or rich or never get in a fight. I want you to help with my kids. I there's all these things I want of you, and if you will perform, then I'll stay with you. And so nobody's really accepting the other person as they are. They're avoiding a lot of things, and everybody's on their best performance.
Oh, so
hoping to get the ring.
Okay, so you think living together outside of marriage then is probably producing anxiety then? Like if we know we kind of got the other person has not made a full life commitment to me, I gotta be on my best behavior here.
Okay, that's perfect, because here's another thing I'm sure that you want in a relationship, which is peace and joy, but you don't have it because you do have that low-level, daily, nightly anxiety. Is this going to last? Where is it going? Should I bring it up? I hope she doesn't bring it up. Usually one person is avoiding the talk. The other one is trying to, you know, keep their mouth shut. They're not at rest. They're not at peace. They can't. You can never settle in when you've moved in. When you've only moved in.
Okay.
What else do you want?
Let's say I would like. Rose. Here's what I would say. I'm trying to play the person in the role of who wants to engage in shacking up with another person. Why are you trying to boss me around? I just want the freedom, and we both just want the freedom to express ourselves the way we want to.
Okay, that's fine. Then, you know, you can go live in your apartment, I'll go live in mine, and you'll be totally free from me. Is that what you want?
Well, no. That's not
boyfriend, you want me to be there for you and take care of you and be faithful to you and nurture you and help you and support you.
Yeah.
But you're not going to give me the things that I really need. I need security. I need to know that you're not going to walk out that door.
Yeah.
I need to know that you're in it for the long haul.
But a lot of times people say, you know, well, what if we're just trying it for a while? We're just going to try it out for a while.
This is the famous test the engine, test the car analogy. You know this. Tell us what the car analogy is.
I actually don't know. I know that I should know, but I won't be able to think of it on the air.
In other words, okay, I need to live with my girlfriend or my boyfriend because I don't want to make a lifetime commitment. Just like when you're going to go buy an expensive car, I don't want to sign on the dotted line and put my cash down until I can test drive it.
Yeah.
I want to feel it. I want to see if we jive together. You know, I want to do all these things with it before I make a commitment. Okay, so people think, oh, yeah, that's right. So we should live together. Well, hang on. That analogy falls short. It's great if you're the driver. It sucks if you're the car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You don't want to be the car.
So you want to be used and temporarily, you know, taken out on the highway and driven real fast and slam the brakes and people come in and come out and bring their Cokes and spill it on the inside and then go back and sit on the showroom floor when they're finished with you.
Right.
Because you didn't meet the standards. That's so demeaning.
It is. Yeah, when you think of it that way, that what you really, I mean, I wonder if we do want this or if we've been taught not to want that total commitment of the other person. Like, it's almost like people have been talked out of wanting what people have wanted for the entire history of the human race.
I think they still want it. I think they still want everything, but they either believe they can't get it, or they're hoping to manipulate it so they can get it,
mm-hmm.
or they want to give it some time before they commit to it. Everybody wants security and love and acceptance and freedom and peace and joy and holiness. We didn't even talk about that. If you want to be holy in your relationship, moving in is a grave sin. It's against the dignity of the human person. It entraps you in permanent sin, and you're not to receive Holy Communion.
Yeah, and the other thing about that, when you say it that way, Rose, it does make me think of the there's a kind of selfish reason to want a holy relationship, in that relationships are really hard and we need heavenly help, so to speak. And I'm not saying that God is mean and he won't help you. I mean, he's constantly always helping us.
Right.
But
right.
It does seem that we close ourselves off to some of that help if we're trapping ourselves in sin, like you said.
That's because, here's another layer of all this, at the very heart of it, most people don't really trust God or believe that God knows them and wants the very best for them. They've kind of reserved God for this, you know, divine being who's all good, and when they get in a jam, they can run to him for help, but they don't want to follow. They don't want to completely surrender. That's what all the great saints and mystics tell us. Holiness is total abandonment to God and total surrender. That's scary. And this is what we're talking about. But we're doing the same thing with the people that we love when we move in. We want to totally surrender, but we can't. We're waiting. We're testing.
When we come back, I want to ask you about, because I got to take a quick break. I want to ask you about three things. One, I wonder if people still believe that God cares about this. I feel like people have been talked into the idea that, well, God doesn't really care. I mean, why are you being a child?
Right.
So I'd like to ask you that question just straight up. Does God really care about this stuff? Second, what does the church officially teach on this?
Okay.
And then we'll get into some of the social science about what actually happens in cohabiting. We'd love it if you'd call as well. I'm going to take a very quick break. Perfect time to call, 888-318-7884. Are you listening to Rose and I talk about this and you think we are utterly mad and old-fashioned and repressed and all that? If you are, we'd love to hear you. We'd love to talk with you. 888-318-7884. Would you just like to talk with Rose maybe about your situation or about this whole the church's teaching and the full truth of the difference between cohabiting and marriage and why marriage is what Jesus gives us and it's a gift that we should accept and not fight against? 888-318-7884.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Hi, this is Father Mike Schmitz. Please join me for Ascension's Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year here on EWTN Radio. We're going through the entire Bible and the Catechism in 365 days. If you've ever wanted to understand what it means to be Catholic and allow those truths to shape your life, this is for you.
Bible in a Year and Catechism in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I honestly think there are people listening who are shocked to hear that there are people who are still stuck in this old-fashioned notion that God made us for marriage, sex is for marriage. It's for within the context of marriage and not for outside of marriage. And that you should, if you really want to be a fully Christian person, if you really want to follow Christ, the most likely way to do that is follow him into marriage. He says that the church is his bride. He has given himself completely as the groom. And that's what he wants us to do. He doesn't want us to take shortcuts, especially shortcuts that damage us. And we'll talk a little bit about that as we go. So where do you want to pick up where we left off? Do you want to get into what the Catechism teaches about this? Or
Yeah. There's three little points I'd love to bring up today.
Okay.
So number one, in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, section 2201, it says, marriage is ordered to the good of the spouses and the procreation and education of children. But look at that first part. Marriage is ordered to the good of the two people. For flourishing, for thriving, for peace, security, joy, love, freedom, all those things that we talked about that people do still want, but they think they can get it by going in, you know, the side door, and it doesn't work. And the Catechism also says in section 2390 and 2391, cohabitation is fallacious. It's false. It's fake, counterfeit. It weakens the sense of fidelity. It's a grave sin. And it also says cohabitation does not protect the parties from inconstancy of desires or whims. So in other words, if you're not married, you might be looking around. If you are married, the chances of that, of you looking around, are far less because you've made that final commitment. So the Catechism talks about how it's marriage is for your good, and this false marriage or trial marriage or living together is incomplete and harmful to both people.
I know that men need marriage to grow up. I don't know very many men who are able to grow up without marriage. I mean, some can, but most of us can't. I know I certainly never could have, and I'm barely grown up now. But there are different reasons why men and women need marriage. It's women, for example, are much more vulnerable in the sense of their fertile years. they don't have the same time that men have. And we're supposed to just act like that's not true. But of course it's true.
Yeah, now I know a lovely young couple related to me, and I love them dearly, and they're living together. And she is 30, and she wants children, and he wants children too. But, you know, after they make more money and after they do this, and maybe after a couple of years, well, they've already been living together for a couple of years. So he's pushing her up against the wall. It's a, you know, the timeline to be anxious about, will I get pregnant? What are the chances the older I get of having trouble in my pregnancies? So it's a real self-centered thing, and it's hugely damaging to the woman and ultimately to the man too, to do that, to wait.
I have a friend who actually surprised me. She's the mother of, a brood of children, and her son in his 20s had been dating a girl for maybe 2 years or something. And she just sat him down and said, marry her or let her go. She doesn't have time for you to just make up your mind. You marry her or let her go. And he ended up marrying her. But that's a mother talking to a son. I think more mothers should talk to their son that way. Like, don't dread. Go ahead, Rose.
No. I agree. But here's what I just found out recently is those young women now, because they're afraid of being alone and afraid of pushing him away. They've come up with, this is the little between these gals, is they'll wait 2 years. They'll live with the guy for 2 years. And if he doesn't propose after that, they'll leave. But let me ask you this. You're already established with him. You've set roots down and you're living together, your financial arrangement. You have emotional and sexual bonds. So after 2 years, all of a sudden you flip the calendar and you're going to leave him? No, it's really hard to leave a disordered relationship when you're already in it so long.
Yeah, I don't think men, especially young men, are being taught this, though, that look, you're being unfair. It, you know, I do think women are being miseducated, too. I think it's horrible, this idea of I don't need a man. I mean, this is the dumbest idea in the world. I mean, if you want to talk that way, nobody needs anybody. But what is the point of life of just not needing other people? That's a stupid life. And the people who are teaching you that are stupid people, and you should stop listening to them. But what about these young men? They need to be taught, don't drag her around like that. You're being a jerk when you do that. You need to make a decision and move.
And you know what? That should come from, just like you said it right now, if you're a father, your manly, fatherly authority, that should come from you. If it doesn't come from dad, then it should come from mom, and maybe from both barrels.
I have to say, I really thought this was great coming from mom in the sense that she speaks as a woman. Like, look, we stop being able to have babies at a certain point. You waste her years. You're just taking away her children from her is what you're doing. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. I got more for you, but I want to get some people on the phone for you. All right.
Okay. Good.
Dave is in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on 96.7 FM. Dave, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
How are you guys doing? It's really not a question. Just comment, basically, or join in the conversation.
Okay.
My experience, I'm a cradle Catholic and grew up in a very dysfunctional household. I was told at a young age that I was unlovable. Most of my life, I was searching for connection.
Yeah.
And not having a good relationship with God or a trusting relationship with God. I met my wife in high school. We were high school sweethearts, and we had premarital sex. And when she gave that part to me, I latched onto it. It's exactly what I was looking for. It was connection. And I'm a recovering sexaholic. Been in recovery for a while now. Got good sobriety. But what it did, you know, for me, sex, love, intimacy, lust was all a big knot. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how to tear it apart. It became a problem in our marriage because, you know, she thought that by giving that to me, that it would go forward and we would have a great marriage, and that's not the case. It caused a lot of problems, And whether it's a sin or it's not, I mean, I believe it today. I believe it's a sin. But what it did for us was it muddied the waters.
I'm gonna, Dave, I'm going to let Rose.
She no longer could tell whether or not I loved her because of who she was or because of what she gave me.
Rose?
Dave, I'm so glad you called because that's exactly right. It does muddy the waters. And studies, you know, not even Christian studies, have proven that people who live together have more difficulties in marriage, difficulty communicating, difficulty trusting for that reason that you just said. Does he love me and is he staying with me as long as I'm putting out? Or what's going to happen when I don't? That's a horrible anxiety to be living under. So thank you for sharing your story.
Dave, God bless you and congratulations to you and praise God for your recovery. People need to know you can recover from all these addictions. We have to take a very quick break because the music's playing. We'll be right back with more Rose Sweet on Cohabiting.
Why We're Catholic is the one book you can hand to anyone to invite them into or back to the Catholic faith. With more than 400,000 copies sold, Trent Horn's book has had a number one ranking on Amazon.com for 5 years running. Now available in softcover, bulk cases, ebook, and on Audible. Find out what the excitement is all about. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic at shop.catholic.com or visit whywearecatholic.com.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Are you scared to talk about abortion? Don't worry, almost everyone is. You can overcome this fear, as Trent Horn shows in the newly revised and expanded second edition of Persuasive Pro-Life. With a little knowledge and a few proven techniques, you can become a bold and effective apologist for life. Visit shop.catholic.com to order your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life and never again be afraid to speak up. Also available at good Catholic bookstores. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. I'll be honest with you. I asked Rose to talk about this on the show today. I don't have any, not out of a desire to be controversial or to upset people, but come on, we're not talking about one of the most basic things about human happiness and one of the most basic goods that God wants to give us. People are running away from it left and right, and you don't need to run away from it. God will help you with it. There's some folks on the phone that want to talk about it. We're talking about what is now probably the most common practice. I don't know. I haven't seen the data on it, but the practice of cohabiting together as if man and wife before being man and wife. And Gloria is on the phone from Los Angeles, California, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Gloria, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Hi, thanks. It's not so much a question. It's just another perspective. I remember just being young and hearing that people would live together to determine if they were sexually compatible. And, you know, now that I'm older, I certainly don't agree that that's a legitimate reason, because, you know, your sexuality and, you know, and your compatibility changes over time as you age and so forth. But anyway, that was what I remember hearing the most of.
Gloria, that is a fantastic insight. Rose?
It does. And you know, one of the most beautiful parts of bonding in marriage is to explore and to discover the needs of the other person and to be able to give that and to be patient and to be tender. That builds trust, that strengthens the relationship. You know, you don't take two porn stars and march them down the aisle and their wedding night is like perfect. That's so damaging to the human person. So you are sexually compatible because you're a woman, he's a man. Things work. And that's part of the loving and the tenderness and the strengthening of the relationship. And it goes back to that car analogy that we talked about, Cy. Yeah. You know, you don't need to be tested to see you are beautiful in God's eyes. You're beautiful in this other person's eyes. You know, get married and have a good life.
And do you want to be good to one another or do you not? Because if you do want to be good to one another, even a lack of similarity isn't an issue. You work on it. You that's part of what marriage is. Like this idea that sexual compatibility is some kind of magical thing. It's not. That's not how that works.
Well, and there studies have been done on this. This is another big important part is that, back in the 80s, you know, they used to, at youth groups, they would use a piece of tape and they would tape it on your skin and then take it off and then put it on again. And after it was taped on a few times and no longer stuck. And it was an image to show that when you bond with somebody and then tear away from them and bond with somebody else and tear away from them, you become desensitized.
Yeah.
Not to mention the pile of people that you've used and left, you know, bleeding emotionally. It's heinous.
Gloria, is that about what you were thinking? Is there anything else you wanted to share?
I've had this conversation with my son, and it was just really interesting because he actually wanted to marry his girlfriend before she was ready.
Sure.
So she declined. And then we had a conversation about, you know, how he needed to make decisions about what was important to him. And we had all that conversation. And frankly, what it came down to, especially in Southern California, was not the financial security, but just the financial burden of living out on your own. And it was just more affordable to combine finances for one household than it was to try and live alone, especially in Southern California. But anyway, had a long debate with him. Didn't matter. I tried.
Gloria.
Oh, it did matter.
Thank you. So, Gloria, thank you for bringing that financial part up because that's prostitution. Saying, I will use you and take advantage of you and bond with you and maybe trash you so that I can save money. Or I will let you do that to me so I can save money. It's a financial arrangement. It's business. It's not love. And somebody needs to say that too. You know, get a roommate. Move in with your brothers and sisters. There's lots of options.
I don't want to go any farther with that, but Gloria, thank you very much for that. Thank you very much for the, especially that wonderful insight that you change over the course of your life. Well, you think you're going to try things out now, and that's determinative.
Right.
You know, there's people who's just every kind of thing happens in marriage, and it's a great adventure. But they are afraid of it. But I would say this about what Gloria said: I do think that there are societies that support marriage and societies that make marriage more difficult. Ours is a society that makes marriage more difficult.
I agree.
And one of the ways it makes marriage more difficult is there's no place for people to live. They have to, you know, people are using half or three quarters of their income to pay for housing in many parts of this country. Now, not in every part of this country, but that's not just we're saving the environment by building fewer houses. That is, you're making the most basic human thing, marriage, difficult for people. And that's an injustice.
It is an injustice. Yeah, it's horrible.
Let's go to Bill in Jefferson Township, Pennsylvania, listening to Catholic Answers on the Catholic Answers Live app. Bill, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Rose.
Well, I don't have a question, but I have a sad story to tell about my niece. She shacked up with her boyfriend. They were living out in California, and they had two kids. And 10 years later, he left her. Okay.
Yeah.
And
they're
fighting over, and they have to fight. Now they have to have joint custody of the children, and you know they can't stand one another now, and they're fighting over the children. They had to go to court.
It's heartbreaking.
You know, the Catholic Church though is not teaching, like you said. Did you ever hear anything about shacking up, living together outside of marriage for men and women from the pulpit? No. They're afraid to say it. And the family, and not only that, but divorce cheapens the prevalence of divorce in this culture that we live in now, and the acceptance of it, and the acceptance of shacking up too is another thing. Yeah, when I grew up, you whispered about somebody who was shacking up with somebody. Okay, now they publish it in the paper. They're proud
right.
of it.
You have a paper where you live? All right.
No, we're shameless. We're shameless. Yeah.
Yeah. That part about divorce though is a double-edged one too. Though I mean, I think that that it is exactly correct, and Bill is exactly correct to say it that the widespread acceptance of divorce has lowered our standards for relationships between men and women in general, but also it has terrified young people about getting married. For some reason, breaking up is not seen, you know, after having cohabited, is not seen as the failure that divorce is. They're terrified of divorce.
Well, and I had to point this out to one of my stepsons recently, who had a girl just, you know, smash him into the concrete and dump him. And he was heartbroken. And I said, you just went through divorce. I did. Yes, you bonded with her in a lot of different areas. You had hopes for the future. So in a certain sense, you are tasting what divorce is. And I said, so you have to go through the grieving process. You don't just, you know, dust yourself off and get up after a breakup. It's very, very painful. And again, that's why people will stay in a horrible relationship, because they're afraid of that too. It's just, the caller earlier, was a big knot. I think it was Dave from St. Louis or whatever. He says everything just became this big tangled knot, and that's where we are.
Indeed. All right. I'll tell you what. We got to take a quick break, and we'll come back. More calls coming in as we speak, but you're welcome to call if you'd like to get in on the conversation. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. For a lot of people, the cohabiting is filed later in life under, it seemed like a good idea at the time. It's one of those things where I do think there's very few people who look back and go, well, thank goodness we did that. Because, you know, delaying marriage was a great idea, or even delaying children. But we are somehow convinced that it is a good idea when we are young. And the church still teaches against it on moral grounds, certainly, but also on practical grounds. The church has a lot of experience practically with what works. We'll talk a little bit about why cohabiting doesn't really work for people. It does not really get people what they hope that it will get them. We'll do that right after this with Rose Sweet on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul? And that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come. At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
Hosting Women Made New has helped me deepen my own faith, and I look forward to every weekend having those in-depth discussions with my guests. It's been such a blessing being a part of the EWTN family and carry on the mission that Mother Angelica started.
Women Made New, Saturday noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about shacking up. It used to be called shacking up. Now it's not called anything because people just do it and don't, it doesn't even have a name. It's just it's like breathing, and it shouldn't be. Christ himself taught against it. The church taught against it. As a matter of fact, to tell you the truth, there's no, you know, at least from the world before the modern period, no philosophy or religion that said, you know what's a good idea? Not committing to one another, sharing a sex life together. There's never you couldn't get Aristotle to say something like that. You couldn't get the Buddha to say something. So we want to say, yes, Jesus taught that. Yes, the church teaches it. But also everybody else taught it as well, because until the modern period, it was basic knowledge. When people actually bothered to understand the human condition. But now we apparently have given up on that. But I want to ask you a question, Rose, and I just thought of this. Reflecting on some of what we've talked about, I think some Catholic parents are probably not teaching this to their kids because they don't want to get the question from the kids about their own premarital life.
That's exactly right. And it's, you know what, and yes, and I was thinking this earlier, we're saying we don't hear it from the pulpit, but it should begin in the home.
Yep.
And you're right, our parents are not, first of all, they don't have the language. They're hoping not to have that discussion. They don't want to make waves with their kids, you know. And again, people are very attached to their children emotionally, and they don't want their kids mad and running away and not coming home again. So again, this is the opposite of holiness. Holiness is total abandonment to God. The opposite is being attached to all these other earthly goods that we want and have to have. You know what? It wasn't just shacking up. Here's the other phrase. Living in sin.
Oh, good Lord. Imagine if you said that today. Living, people would take
great
offense.
But remember,
at that.
You know, we explained to kids that sin means missing the mark, you know, pretty big. Cohabitation, man, you are missing the mark.
Yeah. And you are sinning. I'm not judging the subjective level of it, but objectively, that is sinful. That is against what God's intention for the human person is. That's not the way he designed us. All right, so give me just a few, and I'll go back to the phones. I promise I will let more people talk with you, Rose, about this. But I would like you to give me a little bit of the social science on this, because one of the things that, you know, if you get a single social scientist somewhere at some junior college in wherever that says, that says the rainbow flag is good for people, then it's going to be reported on all the news. We now have, 50, 60 years of social science, decade after decade, tells us that marriage is good for you and not being married is bad for you. The cohabiting, it is not supported by any social science. But you will never see that. That's not going to come up on CNN, that for whatever reason. Well, I don't want to judge the reason, but there must be reasons why we avoid some things and other.
I know the reason.
Yeah.
It boils down to this. You're not going to tell me what to do with my body.
Yeah. Okay. But how about this? Instead of telling you what to do with your body, how about this? What does the social science say is the best social arrangement for you? Is it cohabiting or marrying?
Okay, so here's one of my favorite websites. It's IFS, I is in intelligent, IF is in, IFSstudies.org, Institute for Family Studies. They say that cohabitation brings about lower marital satisfaction, lower communication in marriage, higher risk of divorce, up to 50% higher when you live together. And we already have a 50% divorce rate, or what, you know, thereabouts. Higher risk of infidelity. When you don't have that piece of paper or that ring, a lot of people think it's okay to cheat. Higher risk of child abuse. You know, a lot of people who are living together and having children or bringing children from prior, you know, relationships, there's no protective bond there to prevent child abuse, sexual or otherwise. You have a higher risk of partner abuse, especially for women who are afraid to be on their own. They can't financially be on their own, so they're staying with this guy, and it is hell for everybody. And finally, it's as we talked about earlier, cohabitation makes it really difficult to break up. If I'm just dating a guy, let's say I'm single and dating, and I realize and all my girlfriends and my parents go get rid of him, it's going to be easier if I'm not living with him and sharing a bank account with him. So these are some of the horrible things that cohabitation is poison. It's not eco-friendly. It's not green. It's not, it's horrible for us. And we're so obsessed with gluten-free and all these other things that have to be all, you know, good for the human flourishing. And we are poisoning ourselves with this.
Let's go back to the phones. Chris is in St. Louis, Missouri, listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Welcome, Chris. Go ahead with your question for Rose Sweet.
Hi, can you guys hear me okay?
Very well.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for the program. And I jumped in a few minutes ago, so forgive me if you've repeated some of this. But I guess my question's about, you know, one of the causes behind a lot of this. And I've heard some priests talk about how, you know, fathers have a spiritual headship in the family and their children are under their protection. And, you know, I come from not really growing up in a family. I didn't have any sort of faith formation until much later in life when I converted. But I remember my parents really just encouraging me as a man to get out of the home and to, you know, get an education, live independently, start a career. And what I see happening today also is a lot of the same thing for young women. And so I guess my question is, like, do you see this being linked a lot to, you know, fathers really encouraging their daughters to leave the home early on and just getting this sort of reinforced message of, like, be independent. And eventually, like, their option isn't really to live under their parents' protection, but to, you know, find somewhere else to find that kind of protection or some kind of, whether it's spiritual or natural, with someone else. And eventually that just leads to cohabitation. It just seems like one of the only realistic options, because the idea that I have to, you know, live with my parents isn't even an option anymore.
Okay, that's a really good point. And let me go in there. Being a young woman, you can live independently in an apartment with a couple girlfriends and still be under your father's moral and spiritual protection. You don't have to be under the same physical roof. And I've been working with people with broken relationships and divorces for so long. And when we all go back, when you have a very needy, dependent, be it the woman or the man who is still living with mommy or daddy, they jump out of that nest and they cling on to somebody. There's a tendency to have that person take care of them, and they haven't matured. So I believe that there's a level of confidence and independence that both sexes should achieve, no matter where they're living, to be ready for the burdens of marriage. And, you know, you could live with your parents and, you know, have a job and be independent. So this is a really good topic for discussion. I don't think the problem is these poor women have been shot out and now they can't make it on their own, so they cohabit. I think they choose that because it's easier, because everybody else is doing it. It just sounds a lot more fun to be with, you know, handsome Bill than three of my girlfriends who, you know, fight over who's, you know, who ate all the food in the refrigerator. But I, you know, I, as a young woman, that was my only option. And I lived with girlfriends and it was wonderful. I gained independence. I was still under my father's authority and his love and his protection. So I don't think there's really anything too much in that. What do you think?
Yeah, it's just, thank you for your perspective. I think when things go wrong, I just wonder, I think in a case where it works out well, you know, you feel like you have that strong connection with your father, that's good. But I just wonder if, like, there's this sort of message that's being reinforced, and it could be wrong. So, yeah, that's why I'm calling in with the question. This message is being reinforced that we need to be independent versus, and in that independence, it seems like, well, you know, I'm supposed to be independent, so I want to maintain that independence even in cohabiting. That was something, a personal experience of mine, where I felt like,
yes,
while I'm cohabiting with someone, I still have to maintain that independence. So it's like a driving force that I don't know if that's a sort of a Catholic kind of societal force. It's more of like a different message that we're hearing that's not reinforcing the family.
Rose,
so okay, I appreciate your insight, though. Yeah.
No, this is really good. Let's change the word independent, because the way you're describing it, it becomes narcissistic and self-protective. Let's change it to maturity. you can stand on your own feet, 2 feet. You can balance a checkbook. You understand human nature to some degree. So yes, both people for marriage should be relatively mature. And I think we've overlapped with the word independent. And there's studies on this too, that we have dependency, independency, and then interdependency. And that's the goal, where we are both mature and we can come to support and love one another without, you know, being a soul-sucking, you know, leech.
Chris, thank you very much for that, for the call and for the question. I do think one thing I notice about young people today is they are harassed. They feel like they're killing the planet if they do anything. They feel like they have to be so careful in the foods that they eat. They feel so kind of morally harassed. And I mean, not all, but a lot of, and then they go to college and they get more morally harassed. Are you part of the power structures and, you know, criticize yourself and your family? And so I wonder if sometimes, you know, certainly there is this thing about it's sinful and you should not do it. Yes, that's true. But there's this other thing about they just don't have the confidence, because they're kind of morally harassed by the society, to say, you know what, it's okay for me to breathe. I'm not killing the planet. It's okay for me to, you know, get married and have children. It's the planet is going to be fine. If I have more children than you have, it's none of your business. They just don't have the wherewithal to stand up to a world that's bullying them.
Yeah, that's a good point. So in other words, you're saying they're so harassed in all these other areas, they're looking for somewhere where they can just do what they want and be completely free.
Yeah, I think so.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I see that.
Rose Sweet is our guest. Rose, before I let you go, I want you to tell us again about the pilgrimage that you're leading. And then I've got more questions here for you about the whole idea of cohabiting, and maybe we should finish. Actually, where I want to finish is giving people some hope. So you're a young person,
okay.
In this situation. Can you get out of it? But first, tell me about the pilgrimage, because I don't want it to end.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for that. So it's an 11-day pilgrimage to Italy. We're going to Rome, Assisi, and Blessed Carlo Acutis just was announced. His miracle was approved. He's going to be declared a saint next year. We're going to be going to see his incorrupt body. We're going to the beautiful city of Florence. We're going to Orvieto, one of my favorite little fairy tale towns, and see the beautiful cathedral there. And the best part really is Monsignor Eugene Morris. He is just a fabulous priest, a wonderful guy. And he will be saying beautiful Latin masses every day at some of these holy sites. So please go to my website, rosesweet.com/pilgrimage to download the brochure.
Now help us with the person that needs to get out of this. They're kind of stuck in the cohabiting situation.
Okay. I get a lot of my clients come to me because I'm a coach, right? And I help people come up with a plan to get them away from where they are to where they want to be. So obviously the first thing that we've talked about, they have to be able to financially find where they can land. So when they call me up, I say, first of all, stop sleeping together. Just go have the talk and say, I need to move out. I'm not comfortable with this, whatever you say. Get out of the bed together, okay? And then number two, get a financial plan. Can you go back home for a short time? Can you move in with a friend for a short time? Can you find roommates, maybe somebody at work? So you need to come up with the financial piece is so huge and scary for people. That's the one that I say, you know, attack that first. Then go to confession. I get somebody to walk you through this and make a plan for getting back to where you need to be, which is in line with God's love for you and the teachings of the church and not a sinful life and a life with hope and a future filled with peace and joy. We want that for you. Catholic Answers wants that. I want that. The whole church wants that for you.
Thank you, Rose. Thanks very, very much. We have lots of stuff at our website on marriage. Rose, also, you can go to rosesweet.com. Lots of folks have gone to Rose, you know, for the annulment stuff or the divorce stuff or go find out about marriage, too. There's the good stuff, the healthy stuff, the helpful stuff. Check it all out at rosesweet.com. Rose, I'll say thanks and let you go. It's always great to get to talk with you. Thanks for taking the time with us.
Yeah, and thanks for this important topic. You brought it up, and I really appreciate it.
I'll probably be fired now. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see how it will. If I'm on next week, then it went okay.
If CNN comes, that's great.
I don't ever want CNN to come, ever. I never want to be involved in anything that CNN shows up for. All right, I'll tell you what. The most hated man in Australia, he's here right after this. Jason Evert will tell you about, and he'll tell you about, what just happened when he went down to Australia and tried to talk at some Catholic schools about chastity. What happened? Right after this on Catholic Answers Live.